Welcome to the History AI Podcast, where the past comes alive with facts, anecdotes, and a dash of humor. Here are your hosts, Chuck and Marco.
Hey there, history buffs. Welcome back to the History AI Podcast, where we dive into the stories of the past and bring them to life. I'm Chuck, the guy who can't resist a good sword fight.
And I'm Marco, your resident fact checker and occasional medieval trivia champion. We're so excited to have you here for another episode of Historical Dives, Tall Tales, and a Healthy Dose of Curiosity.
That's right. And before we get started, a quick reminder, if you love what we're doing, please hit that subscribe button and leave us a 5-star review. It helps more than you can imagine. It's like giving us the medieval version of a knight's shining armor.
Exactly. Your reviews help us reach more listeners and keep bringing you fascinating stories like today's. Speaking of which, we're turning our attention to one of Spain's most legendary figures, the man known as El Cid.
El Cid, the knight, the mercenary, the hero, the, well, complicated guy. We're going to unpack his life, his legends, and why he's still such a big deal nearly 1,000 years later.
So buckle up, because this episode is going to be a ride through medieval Spain with all its shifting alliances, epic poetry, and sword fights.
Let's get started. All right, Marco. Before we jump into the swashbuckling sword fights, let's set the scene. Spain in the 11th century was kind of like the ultimate medieval chessboard, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Imagine a patchwork of kingdoms, Christian realms in the north and Muslim taifas in the south, all vying for power. Alliances shifted faster than a knight changing horses.
And smack in the middle of all this chaos was Rodrigo Díaz de Vivar, later known as El Cid. Born around 1043 in the town of Vivar near Burgos, he grew up in a time of constant conflict, intrigue, and opportunity.
Now, Chuck, here's the thing. Rodrigo was the son of a minor noble, not exactly top-tier royalty, but he had the right connections to make his way into King Sancho II's court as a knight and military commander.
Right, and let's not forget, Sancho II was the eldest son of King Ferdinand I of Leon and Castile. But when Ferdinand died, he split his realm between his sons. Sancho got Castile, Alfonso got Leon, and Garcia got Galicia. Let's just say, brotherly love was not on the menu.
No kidding. Sancho went to war against his brothers to reunite the kingdom under his rule, and guess who was right there at his side? Our man, El Cid.
So from an early age, Rodrigo was in the thick of power struggles, learning not just how to fight but how to navigate the tangled web of medieval politics. And that's where his reputation as both a hero and a mercenary started to take shape.
Exactly, because after Sancho's assassination, El Cid had to pivot and swear loyalty to Sancho's brother, Alfonso VI. That's when things really started to get complicated for Rodrigo: exile, alliances with Muslim rulers, the siege of Valencia. But we'll get to that soon enough.
One thing's for sure, Spain in El Cid's time wasn't a black and white world of Christians versus Muslims. It was messy, multicultural, and full of shifting loyalties, and that's exactly where El Cid thrived.
A perfect setup for a legendary story that's equal parts history and myth. And speaking of legends, let's talk about the man behind that larger-than-life reputation.
Let's do it.
Alright, so we've got El Cid at the court of Alfonso VI, trying to navigate the treacherous waters of medieval politics. But this is where the story takes a dramatic turn into Rodrigo's exiles. And Chuck, there's not just one exile, but two.
That's right. Let's unpack the first one. After Sancho's death, and some serious suspicion that Alfonso might have had a hand in his brother's assassination, El Cid had to swear loyalty to Alfonso. That meant kissing the ground, swearing an oath of allegiance, and, let's be honest, probably watching his back every second.
Exactly. And though Rodrigo proved himself a capable commander in Alfonso's campaigns, including fighting against the Muslim Taifar kingdoms, court politics eventually caught up with him. Around 1081, El Cid got into a dispute with Count García Ordóñez, one of Alfonso's top men, during a campaign near Seville.
And this wasn't just a minor scuffle. El Cid raided the territory of Seville, which was actually paying tribute to Alfonso. So in Alfonso's eyes, Rodrigo had just disrupted a pretty lucrative political arrangement. That gave Alfonso the perfect excuse to exile him.
So, banished from his homeland, El Cid was forced to become, for lack of a better term, a freelance knight. And here's where things get really interesting. Instead of sulking or hiding in a monastery, Rodrigo headed straight for the Muslim Taifar of Zaragoza and offered his services to its ruler, Al-Muqtadir.
Can we just pause and appreciate how unpredictable that was? This is a Christian knight, fighting for a Muslim emirate, all while the Christian kingdoms were supposedly at odds with the Muslim Taifas. But in reality, everyone was cutting deals behind the scenes.
Exactly.
Rodrigo fought with Muslim armies against other Muslim states, and sometimes even against other Christian forces, depending on who was paying him. His military genius was on full display, earning him respect from his Muslim allies and even the nickname Fel Sid from the Arabic Al-Sayyid, meaning the Lord or the Master.
The guy was basically a medieval military contractor, think Blackwater, but with chainmail.
Totally.
And during his time in Zaragoza, El Cid honed his reputation as a fearsome and pragmatic commander. He wasn't fighting for ideology, he was fighting for survival and influence.
Eventually, in 1086, Alfonso found himself in a bind after the disastrous defeat at the Battle of Sagrajas against the Almoravids, a powerful North African Berber dynasty. Alfonso needed every capable commander he could get, so guess who got the call back?
But, and here's the twist, his relationship with Alfonso remained tense. Their trust was always in question. That's why, after a few years back in Alfonso's service, El Cid found himself exiled again in 1089, after another political falling out during a failed military campaign against the fortress of Aledo.
So once more, El Cid returned to the life of a mercenary. But this time, he set his sights on something bigger, Valencia. He realized he could carve out his own independent power base. He switched from serving others to becoming a ruler in his own right.
That's where El Cid's story shifts from hired sword to legend.
Let's set the scene.
Picture it, Valencia, one of the wealthiest and most cosmopolitan cities in medieval Spain, located on the Mediterranean coast. At the time, it was ruled by Muslim emirs but was caught between the Christian kingdoms of the north and the powerful Almoravids from North Africa. It was a prize that everyone wanted.
And after his second exile in 1089, El Cid saw a golden opportunity. Instead of taking sides, he decided to play the power game himself. He launched a long and complex siege of Valencia that stretched on for nearly 2 years.
2 years!
Can you imagine that? Siege warfare in the 11th century was no walk in the park, it was brutal. Starvation, disease, constant skirmishes. El Cid was a master of psychological as well as military tactics. He cut off Valencia's supply lines, isolated it from potential allies, and used a combination of negotiation and intimidation to wear down the defenders.
Exactly. And get this, during the siege, El Cid didn't just fight against Muslims. At different times, he formed temporary alliances with local Muslim factions and even with other Christian forces, depending on what suited his strategy best. He was the ultimate political chameleon.
By 1094, after a long and grueling siege, Valencia finally surrendered. El Cid entered the city triumphantly and established himself as its ruler, effectively making himself a semi-independent warlord. He was nominally under Alfonso's authority, but let's be honest, he was calling the shots.
And what a ruler he was. He maintained a multicultural court, with Christians, Muslims, and Jews all playing roles in the administration of the city. He imposed heavy tribute on the local Muslim population but also employed Muslim soldiers in his own forces. It was an arrangement of pragmatism over ideology.
That's a key point. El Cid wasn't just a Christian hero fighting Muslims. He was a savvy leader who understood the complexities of ruling a diverse and contested city. He built a strong defensive system, bolstered the economy, and even minted his own coins with his name in Latin, Campidoctor, the champion.
And let's not forget that during his rule, he continued to fend off challenges from the Almoravids, who were determined to push the Christians out of Valencia. El Cid held the city until his death in 1099, defending it against repeated Almoravid attacks.
And here's where the legend really takes over. According to El Cantar de Mayo Cid, the epic poem that immortalized him, even death couldn't stop Rodrigo Diaz. The story goes that after he died, his followers dressed his body in armor, placed him on his horse Babica, and rode him out to face the enemy one last time. His mere presence terrified the Almoravids and led to a final victory.
That's the stuff of legends. Now, historians are pretty sure that's more myth than fact, but it shows how El Cid's story was transformed from a historical figure into a symbol of Christian chivalry and heroism during the Reconquista.
Exactly. His legend grew over the centuries. He became Spain's national hero, the subject of epic poetry, operas, and even Hollywood films. But beneath all that, there was a real man, complicated, pragmatic, and brilliant, who navigated the messy politics of medieval Spain to leave a legacy that endures to this day.
And that's why, even nearly 1,000 years later, El Cid still captures our imagination, because he was a product of his time, and yet he transcended it. All right, Marco, we've talked about El Cid the warrior, the exile, the ruler of Valencia. But what happened after his death, and how did his legacy evolve over time?
Great question. Let's start with the immediate aftermath. El Cid died in 1099, and his widow, Ximena Díaz, tried to hold onto Valencia. But the Almoravids, that powerful Berber dynasty from North Africa, launched relentless attacks. By 1102, Ximena was forced to abandon the city, and Valencia fell back under Muslim control.
So in some ways, his conquests didn't last. But his legend certainly did. Just a few decades later, Spanish poets and chroniclers started to turn Rodrigo Díaz into something bigger than life, the campeador, the undefeated champion of Christianity.
Exactly. The most famous piece of this legendary puzzle is El Cantar de Mayo Cid, the epic poem written in the early 12th century. It's the oldest surviving epic poem in the Spanish language, and it's a fascinating blend of fact and fiction. The poem transforms El Cid into a chivalric hero who embodies the ideals of loyalty, honor, and Christian virtue.
But here's the twist: the historical El Cid was way more complex. He fought for both Christian and Muslim rulers, switched allegiances when it suited him, and prioritized his own survival and ambitions over any single cause. That complexity is often overshadowed by the nationalist hero image that developed later, especially during the 19th century.
Right. During the Romantic era, Spanish writers and nationalists seized on El Cid as a symbol of the Reconquista, the centuries-long Christian struggle to reclaim the Iberian Peninsula from Muslim rule. They cast him as the ultimate Christian knight, fighting to purify Spain of Muslim influence. But historians know that the real Rodrigo Díaz was a man who navigated a multicultural and multi-faith world.
And that's what makes his legacy so fascinating and so relevant even today. He's a reminder that history is complicated. El Cid wasn't just a hero of one faith or one people. He was a man who lived in a time when survival meant forging alliances across cultural and religious lines.
And let's not forget his enduring place in popular culture. We're talking about everything from the 1961 Hollywood film El Cid with Charlton Heston, which, let's face it, turned him into a larger-than-life hero, to modern Spanish television series, novels, and even video games. His name still resonates.
Absolutely. And even in Spain today, his tomb in Burgos Cathedral is a major tourist destination. People leave flowers, letters, and tokens of respect, almost like a medieval rock star shrine.
And that's why his legacy matters. He's more than just a figure of the past, he's a touchstone for questions of identity, politics, and culture that are still being debated in Spain and beyond.
That's right. El Cid's story invites us to see the past as a place of complexity, where no hero is perfect and every legend is a tapestry of fact and fiction. So Marco, what's your biggest takeaway about El Cid?
For me, it's that El Cid's life defies easy categorization. He wasn't just a Christian hero fighting Muslims, nor just a self-interested mercenary. He was a man navigating a world where alliances changed constantly and survival depended on adaptability.
Couldn't agree more. He's a reminder that history is rarely black and white, it's full of gray areas and complicated choices. And that's why El Cid's legend has endured for nearly 1,000 years.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks so much for joining us on the History AI podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a 5-star review. It really helps the podcast grow.
And don't forget to subscribe and share the show with your fellow history buffs. We also want to hear from you. Send us your topic suggestions on social media. Who knows? Your idea might be featured in a future episode.
And we've got brand new merch available. Check the link in the show notes to grab yours. Remember, all our episodes are evergreen, so you can enjoy them anytime.
Until next time, I'm Chuck.
And I'm Marco. Thanks for listening to the History AI podcast. Stay curious and keep exploring history.
Castile, a child was born, son of noble blood, to the fields he was sworn. With his sword in hand, he pledged his trust, but envy and betrayal shattered that bond of dust. Oh, Cid Campeador, your sword sang of glory and of war. Christian to Moor, your name they all wore. Exiled to lands both near and far, among kings and emirs you played your cards. For gold and for land you changed your ties, yet your brave soul could not be denied. Campeador, Valencia bowed to your iron core. Oh, Cid Campeador, in the darkest night, your legend soared. They say in death you still rode forth, with the moon as witness, your foes felt remorse. No tomb could hold your fearsome stride. Your legend lives on, eternal night. Oh, Cid Campeador, on Bebica's back you claimed the floor. Oh, Cid Campeador, between myth and history, your shadow. Rodrigo of Vivar, knight of destiny, your story's both a song and a plea. From Burgos to Valencia, from peace to war, El Cid rides in the soul of Spain ever.